So we're going to go back over some of what we did yesterday. We're going to start from the Mishnah again, and we'll quickly review, and we'll move from there forward and use the charts to help you follow. Hakol k'shirin likrot etamilah chutz micheres shoteh v'katan v'Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. So what we saw yesterday is that there's different interpretations of this Mishnah. When it says specifically about the cheresh we talked about according to the Bavli is a cheresh ha-medaber ve'eno shomea. Okay, he speaks but he can't hear himself speak, and that creates a technical problem for him that we're going to see there's a machloket about. Can you be yod say something if you can't hear what you're saying? So the first assumption is that the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yossi. We're not going to read all this inside. The Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yossi, whose opinion is HaKoreh Shema V'lo Hishmiah Lo Ozno Lo Yatza. Okay, and therefore our Mishnah means you're not Kshirim, and if you did do it anyway, you're not Yotze. And the first option is to say it's like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so if you see this chart, I charted out the first three options. The number one, the Mishnah means Cheresh B'Dieved, also can't read. And then it follows Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Then the Gemara tries to say, no, maybe it's really Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which is the Tanna Kamma in that Mishnah in Brachot, which says, HaKoreh Shema V'lo Hishmiah Lo Ozno Yatza. Okay, in which case it would be Rabbi Yehuda. So let's start reading from there. Okay, it's about halfway through the daf. It says, Dilma Rabbi Yehuda hi ulechatchila hu delo. Hadiyevet shapir dafne. Okay, and then we'd understand that the Mishnah in Brachot, when it says, HaKoreh Shema V'lo Hishmiah Lo Ozno Yatza, it means you're Yotze, but obviously it means b'dieved. You shouldn't do it, but if you did it, yatza, you're Yotze. And then our Mishnah means Hakol k'shirin likrot ha-megillah chutz micheresh, meaning ideally speaking, lechatchila, but b'dieved, if you did it, it would be okay. And then we match up the Tanna Kamma in our Mishnah to the Tanna Kamma in the Mishnah in Brachot and say that they're both Rabbi Yehuda. So then they say, lo sakadata. Doesn't make sense because the cheresh is dumi adishota v'katan and mashota v'katan di'evinami lo, av cheresh di'evinami lo. Okay? Just, it should be like the cheresh should be equal to the shota and the katan, who even b'di'evit can, and therefore they don't like the reading of our Mishnah that it means b'di'evit, it's okay. But then they say, no, maybe it could work. V'dilma ha'kadita v'ha'kadita. Maybe each one, the cheresh, shota v'katan are linked together as one sentence. But really, each one has individual halachot, and they're just lumping them together, even though they don't really, it's not 100% accurate. And they say, we have a separate problem, though. Midi katan is sefer, Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan, michlal d'resh alav Rabbi Yehuda hi. But when we say now, the end of the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. So if that's the case, it seems to imply that the beginning of the Mishnah isn't Rabbi Yehuda, because why would it only say Rabbi Yehuda at the end? So what do they say? No, it could be. V'dilma kula Rabbi Yehuda hi. It's definitely possible that the whole thing is Rabbi Yehuda. But then they say, no, it can't be. And then how would you explain it? You'd explain that the first opinion is the generally accepted opinion, the first line of the Mishnah. It's not said in Rabbi Yehuda's name, because everybody says that. Everybody agrees, or most people, obviously, not Rabbi Yossi, but the general majority of people agree that Hakol k'shirin likrot ha-megillah chutz micheresh shoteh v'katan. And then Rabbi Yehuda adds, Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. They say, how could that be? It doesn't make any sense to say that because Reisha Machshir, right? Where is it inside? Reisha Lipsula V'Sefa L'Ksheira. It makes no sense because in the Reisha, the Katan is Kasher, and in the Sefa, the Katan is Pasul, so you can't say it's the same opinion. So what would you have to say? V'dilma Kula Rabbi Yehuda hi Utre Gavne Katan Katanela. It's talking about two different ketanim. So it really could be all one opinion. In which case, again, what do we have? The majority opinion is the first line. And then Rabbi Yehuda adds that I think against what you all think, and as I agree with everything you said. However, I want to add that it's machshir b'katan, and we're going to distinguish what we did yesterday. We read this already. Between a katan shigia l'gil chinuch and a katan shelo higia l'gil chinuch. So all the rabbis say, or most of the rabbis, except Rabbi Yossi maybe, right? Or at least lepachot Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree. But the general opinion is, hakol k'shirin likrot chutz micheresh shoteh v'katan. And that would be a katan shel lo higia l'gil chinuch. And Rabbi Yehuda comes and adds that if the katan higia l'gil chinuch, you can be yotze. Okay, which we see lots of times that there's a distinction between a katan shigia l'chinuch and lo higia. So let's read it inside. V'chisur machas rav hachi katani. There's some words missing in the Mishnah. This is the way the Mishnah really should read. Hakol k'shirin likrot et ha-megillah chutz micheresh shoteh v'katan. Ba'me dvarim amurim b'katan shelo higia l'chinuch. Aval b'katan shigia l'chinuch afilu l'chatchila. אפילו לכתחילה, שרבי יהודה מכשיר בקטן, אוקיי? הקטן הגיע לחינוך, even לכתחילה, it's fine. So again, according to this whole reading, the reisha is, like we said, the main opinion, and the opinion is, לכתחילה, it's no good, but בדיעבד, now again, we're distinguishing between the חרש and the שוטה and the קטן. חרש and שוטה קטן, בדיעבד, even if they do it בדיעבד, it's no good. But the חרש does it בדיעבד, it's okay. And that's the way we're trying to read the Mishnah now. So now the Gemara is going to question this. B'mayu kimta ki Rabbi Yehuda b'diavad? Elahad etane Rabbi Yehuda b'reid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi chereish ha-medaber ve'eno shomea torem l'chatchila. Mane, I Rabbi Yehuda diavad in l'chatchila lo, I Rabbi Yossi diavad nami lo. Now we have a separate problem, which is, according to this, we've established that Rabbi Yossi holds it's no good even b'diavad. Rabbi Yehuda holds b'diavad it's okay l'chatchila, it's no good. And then we have a problem because there's this other opinion that appears of Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, a different Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a cheresh hamidaber ve'eno shomea, our case, toren lechatchila. What does that mean? He can do truma milechatchila. Now, what's the issue with truma? You have to make a bracha. If you make a bracha, what's the problem? You can't be mashmia lo's no. So here, what do we see? That we have an opinion that lechatchila it's okay. Even lechatchila it's fine. L'chatchila, someone could do it. So now, we don't have anyone who matches up to his opinion. Okay? We have this machloke, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and the assumption is that these are the two opinions about Mishmiel Lo's no, right? We have Rabbi Yossi, we have Rabbi Yehuda. And remember, what did they say? Go back to the Mishnah Bracha. HaKoreit Shema V'lo Mishmiel Lo's no. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yatsa. And Rabbi Yossi says, Lo Yatsa. Now, until now, what do we assume? Lo yatsa means even b'diavad. Yatsa means b'diavad yatsa, right? So now we're going to say we have this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, okay, who says that lechatchila yatsa, okay? The assumption here is that saying a bracha for truma is exactly the same as saying a bracha for... Saying a bracha for truma is exactly the same as saying a bracha for reading the Megillah. It's all the same. Anytime you say a bracha, you say Shema, they're all the same. So now, if we say that lechatchila yatsa, we'd have to say that in this machloket, one of them holds the yatsa lechatchila. He's not making up an opinion that's outside the sphere of this machloket. So therefore, what do we say? We say that, let's read it inside. So therefore, it's Rabbi Yehuda, Dieved im lechatchila lo, right? We said according to our reasoning, the Rabbi Yehuda says lechatchila it's no good. And he says explicitly, Torem lechatchila. And if it's Rabbi Yossi, Barur can't be Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says even Dieved it's no good. So what do we say? We have to assume now, Elamai, Rabbi Yehuda, Vafilu lechatchila. We have to assume, we're trying to find someone that Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, agrees with. And the assumption is it's got to be one of the two. So we have to say now, that what we said about Rabbi Yehuda holding cheresh b'dieved is only b'dieved, you can be yotzei, and therefore we tried to read our Mishnah, remember? We tried to say, akok shevim chutz mi cheresh, nachon, meaning, lechatchila he can't, but b'dieved he can. Well, now that can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda has to fit with Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi's opinion, in which case, Rabbi Yehuda now we assume holds that lechatchila a cheresh can read. In which case, again, just to make it clear, our Mishnah can't be Rabbi Yehuda.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a very good question. The Mefarshim asked that question, and it's a good question. There's no great answer for this, okay? It's a tricky answer. Again, you might just say that there's a difference between lechatchila b'diavad. If Rabbi Yehuda, if we say it's lechatchila, then we have a question. It's a big question on this opinion. Definitely a question. It's interesting that Gemara doesn't ask that question. But the Mefarshim asked it. Okay, so now we say, so Elamai Rabbi Yehuda v'afilu lechatchila. But then they say, we have a separate problem. Okay, what do we assume right now? If we say that Rabbi Yehuda is yatsa lechatchila, right? And then Rabbi Yossi is lo yatsa afilu b'dieved, right? So everyone, we now have them on both extremes. Until now, one was an extreme and one was a middle position. And then we said, well, we have an extreme position of Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, and that doesn't match because that's an extreme and there's no extreme his way. So now we have both on the extremes and no middle position. Now they say we have a problem because there's another source that shows that there's a middle opinion. So then nobody would match with that if you say that Rabbi Yehuda, okay? It's going to be the opposite of what they said before. Elahad etanya lo yivarech adam berkat hamazon bilibo. Okay, again, another bracha. We're assuming it's all the same. Ve'im berech yatsa. Okay, you have to wonder, by the way, why these braitot are giving specific occurrences, right? And the Gemara is not distinguishing between Truma, Berkat HaMazon, Kriyat Shema, Kriyat Megillah. Right? First of all, Kriyat Shema and Kriyat Megillah sound a little different, right? It's a Kriyah rather than a Bracha. But the Gemara is equating all of them. And then you have to wonder, did the Braitot really mean to equate them all? And maybe these are really different, right? The Gemara is not going in that direction. I'm just suggesting that the fact that each Braitot takes a particular stand on a particular issue and not necessarily on any Bracha, it doesn't say it as a global thing. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe there were different opinions. You know, it depended on what it was you were saying. Look, obviously nowadays it's all the same, but, you know, that's also because the Gemara understood it, it's all the same. But it's just something to suggest. What do you see here? Don't do it lechatchila, but b'diyevet, if you did it, you're yotze. So now, what do you say? Mane, it's lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Yossi. It's not either. Because e Rabbi Yehuda, afilu lechatchila, you can do it, we said. And e Rabbi Yossi, afilu diyevet nami lo, you also can't do it even b'diyevet. So what do they say now? La'olam Rabbi Yehuda va'afilu lechatchila. Okay, v'lo kashya hadididei hadirabei. What do we say now? There's two Rabbi Yehudas. One, it's the same person, but one Rabbi Yehuda said in his own opinion, and one he said in his rabbi's opinion. Now, how can they say that? Because we have a braita, d'tanya. Rabbi Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, ha'korei et shema tzarich sheyashmia la'ozno. Someone who reads shema has to hear it. Shneamar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Hashmei Elozniach Hamasha Tamotzi Mipicha. That, if you notice, is Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Okay, ve Rabbi Meir Omer Asher Anochi Mitzapcha Hayom Al Levavecha. He's darshaning from the continuation of Shema. What does it say? It has to be Al Levavecha. So what do they answer? Achar Kavanat Halev Hein Hein Hadvarim. It all goes by your kavana. So if you don't hear what you're saying, it doesn't matter. As long as, what do you need? It's not to hear, it's kavana. You need kavana halev. Which actually, on one hand, is mekel. On the other hand, it's a little more machmir. Because in the end, what are you saying? You're saying that...
doesn't count.
If you don't have kavana, it doesn't count. Right? You might think that's clearly the more difficult one. Anyway, what do we say here? So now let's look at the chart here. Okay? So... according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, what comes out of here? Ha'korei shema tzarich lashmia lozno. Now, how do they understand this? Lechatchila he needs to, but b'diyevet, if he didn't, it's okay. And Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that even lechatchila you don't need. Okay? So now, what do they assume? That there's two Rabbi Yehudas. There's the Rabbi Yehuda who says lechatchila. Okay, there's the Rabbi Yehuda that matches Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, and that's Rabbi Yehuda. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, and that's Rabbi Yehuda Atzmo. The lechatchila you yotze. What?
Why can't they then say that Rabbi Yehuda follows his rav, and he takes the b'diavad yes, and then Rabbi Meir, who is a new player who is clearly allowed to stand on his own feet, takes the lechatchila.
Ah, it's exactly what the Gemara is going to do. You clearly have a good head. Okay, that's exactly what the Gemara is going to say in a minute. But before we say that, the Gemara is going to try to explain it this way. First, Rabbi Yehuda himself holds the Chatchila you can be Yotze, in which case, our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Our Mishnah says, okay, and here I tried to organize this all. Okay, our Mishnah is, okay, now look at the bottom of the bottom chart here. Okay? Our Mishnah is either Rabbi Yossi, who says B'dieved no, right? The kol k'shem in the korte megillah chutz mecheres shota. Right? But Katan met either Rabbi Yossi who b'dieved no, or it can be Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his rabbi, because his rabbi says lechatchila ken b'dieved lo. I'm sorry, lechatchila no b'dieved ken. Okay, and then cheresh hamidaber ve'no shomei atorim lechatchila. That's Rabbi Yehuda himself. That's Rabbi Yehuda and the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. That matches Rabbi Yehuda himself, his own opinion that lechatchila it's okay. And that lo yivarech adam berkat matzvah v'libo ve'im berech yatzah. That's Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his rabbi. Okay, that's that assumption. Now we're going to see exactly what Shira said, which is the Gemara says, "Hash to da'aji lahachi," exactly in the same way that Shira said it. If already you're going to bring in this new machloket, because what was our whole problem with Rabbi Yehuda and the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi? It didn't match our two guys. But now we have all of a sudden a third player, and that third player is Rabbi Meir. Who again? What does Rabbi Meir say? That really, right? All you need is kavanah halev. But if you can't hear, lechatchila you're yotze. Right? So therefore, what do they say now? So hashadati lahachi, if you're already saying this, afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda kira beisvirale, you could say that Rabbi Yehuda holds like his rabbi. V'hadetani Rabbi Yehuda bereid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Rabbi Meir he. Okay, so let's just look inside again how you read it. So this is the first column in the chart, okay? The first row, I mean. That our Mishnah, again, is either Rabbi Yossi, that b'dievet it's no good, and l'chatchila it's no good, or it's Rabbi Yehuda himself, and matching his rabbi's opinion, that l'chatchila it doesn't work, but b'dievet it would be okay. The cheresh ha-medaber ve'no shomea would be Rabbi Meir, because it's fine, you can do it as long as, right, you'd have to say that this opinion, cheresh ha-medaber ve'no shomea tarem l'chatchila, would have, well then again, you wouldn't need kavanah in this case, right? Because it's not, it's only in Shema that you need Kavanah and not in Truma. So according to Rabbi Meir, for sure this would be okay. And then Rabbi Yehuda, the Lo Yivarech Adam Barkana Mazon Belibo Vim Berech Yatzah, is Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees with his rabbi. So it's all together. So those are the, so in the end, we have still two ways of reading our Mishnah. In the end, we've established that you could read the Mishnah, that it's Rabbi Yossi, or you could read it that it's, now here's two options, either Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his rabbi, and it can't be Rabbi Yehuda himself, because Rabbi Yehuda holds l'chatchila, it's fine, and that's not our Mishnah, or it's Rabbi Yehuda and his rabbi, because Rabbi Yehuda does hold like his rabbi, that l'chatchila, it's not okay, but b'dievet, it's okay. So those are the two ways of reading our Mishnah, okay, or three ways, really.
How do you know that the Tanna Kamma for Rabbi Yossi was Rabbi Yehuda?
Ah, that's a good question. I think it was just known. I don't know.
Because if we could replace that with Rabbi Meir.
Yeah, no, but I think they'd know it from, it seems obvious to them. They don't suggest that as an option because it must be just obvious to them. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so we finished that. Now we're going to move on to the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, katan hayiti, b'krite lamala mirabbi tarfon, uskenim belod. Okay, what does he say? Here he's testifying. I was a katan, and I read it in front of the rabbis, Rabbi Tarfon, and this came in load. Amrule, eim v'im r'ayam in a katan. We don't bring proof from a katan. Now, this is interesting. He's obviously not a katan at this point. He's Rabbi Yehuda. So they say that you can't learn things from someone who testifies to something that happened in their youth. Now, there's two different reasons to why this is. Either they don't really know, they didn't understand the situation properly. Like, for example, in this case, what could have been? It could have been that he read for them, but it doesn't mean that they were Yotze. And how would he know that, right? How would he know that they didn't hear Megillah otherwise? Okay, so it could be they let him read so that he would get practice reading, but that a katan doesn't understand the situation. So even when you're older and you have perspective, it doesn't mean that you know exactly what went on when you were a katan and you didn't follow. That's one way of understanding it.
Except that Rabbi Yehuda would have known that.
Why would he have known that?
No. As an adult, he would have known that Shalom Kabbalim Edut Mikatan.
Ah, right. Good. Why didn't he know? That's good. Didn't he know that Eim Mivim Rayam and Akatan? It could be there was a machloket about whether you could be Mivim Rayam and Akatan. And they're telling him, by the way, we don't accept testimony. It's strange that he wouldn't know that. I agree. But that's what happens in the story, okay? That they say to him, we can't take a Rayam and Akatan. Tanya, another brayta, Amar Rebbe, Katan Ayiti, Ukrite Lamala Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, here's Rebbe. Okay, there it was Rabbi Yehuda, who's trying to say, I want to support my opinion because I remember when I was a Katan. He's also a little Nogea B'Dafar, right? He's testifying about something that was his opinion. Here, it's all the more so. What happens here? Rebbe says, I was a Katan, I read it in front of Rabbi Yehuda. So what's going to be the obvious problem? Well, that doesn't prove anything. He was the guy who was Matir, right? That was his opinion. Amrule, Eim Mivim Rayamin Amatir. Okay? So now the Gemara asks, Vilei Amrule, Eim Mivim Rayamin Akatan. Why didn't you say, just like we said in the first story, you don't bring a proof from a Katan? Because Rebbe was a Katan then. So they say, Chadeva Odka Amrule. In other words, it's both reasons in this case. It means they meant to say that also, it was obvious. And that's number one, you don't bring a proof from a Katan. And number two, you don't bring a proof from a Matir. Okay, even if you were a gadol, we still wouldn't prove anything from this because the fact that Rabbi Yehuda himself did it doesn't mean that that's how we paskin, and that doesn't prove anything. Now, according to the question asked before about why did Rabbi Yehuda know that halacha the Eim Mivim Rayam and Akatan, you could say that the second brayta shows that not everybody held. The Gemara assumes, again, this is just like I said earlier, The Gemara takes certain things for granted. Okay? Almost fits with Ani's question that you asked before class today, which is, it's so obvious to you that we're supposed to read the whole Megillah. So why were there opinions that said we only read part of it? And I said it's the opposite. Why is it so obvious to you that we read the whole Megillah? And it's obvious to you because you're used to this. The same thing, it's obvious to the rabbis, the Amoraim, who were living after this, that Emevim Rayam and Akatan. But it might not have been so obvious to the Tanaim. It could be that the Tanaim, there were some different opinions. Rabbi Yehuda himself thought you can't bring a proof from a Katan. And the rabbi said, no, we disagree with you. You can't bring a proof from something you said when you were a child. And therefore, the second story, when Rebbe tries to bring the proof, they bring a different answer, which is Eimavim Rayam and Amatir, and they don't bring Minakatan because maybe those rabbis didn't hold that it was a problem to bring a Rayam and a Katan. So it could be that there were different opinions going on about these things also. Okay, new Mishnah. Now we're going to get into things and the timing of mitzvot. We're going to jump from Megillah to all sorts of other things. There's mitzvot that are supposed to be done in the day. There's mitzvot that are supposed to be done at night. And then the question is, what are the boundaries? When you have a mitzvah, this is very much like in the very beginning of brachot. There's all this dioning about this. Mitzvot, there's supposed to be day mitzvot. Can you do them till when in the day, right? In the morning? Does it have to be in the morning? Can it be later in the day? Do you have all day to do them? Nighttime, same thing. Ein korin et ha-megillah, ve'lo malin, ve'lo tovlin, ve'lo mazin, v'chein shomer yom keneged yom, lo titbol ad shetanetz hachama. When you have a mitzvah that's supposed to be during the day, okay, you have to ask why they only bring certain mitzvot. There's lots of other mitzvot also. But there's questions. The Mefreshim try to give reasons. But the question here, the issue here is, all of these things, their mitzvah is supposed to be during the day, and they say the mitzvah starts at sunrise. Netz hachama. Okay, so we have reading the Megillah, which is a mitzvah during the day. Obviously, you're probably all thinking, but it's also a mitzvah at night, so we'll get to that in a minute. Velo malin brit milah is a mitzvah for the day. Okay, nobody does the night of the eighth before. No, nobody ever does it at night then. Velo tovlim, okay, tefillah, when you're supposed to be tovel, except for a nida and a yoledet and anything that's like a nida. Nowadays, there's also women are safek zavot, okay, but generally tefillot are in the morning, and then you wait till harev shemesh, till the sun sets, and then you're tahor. What's your question?
No.
Okay. Velo mazin, this is the mechatat, when you're tamei, right, and you have to sprinkle the water from the paraduma. V'chein shomeret yom keneged yom. That's a zava ktana, which means she saw blood either one day or 2 days. What does she do? She waits till the next day, and she checks that whole day to make sure she doesn't see blood that next day. But in the morning already, she can do the tefillah. Okay, she can tovel the next morning. The Gemara is going to ask, didn't we just say tovlim is during the day, so why do you have to add the shomer yom keneged yom? We'll get to that. What?
Maybe because it's lightning.
Maybe. Okay, we'll see. The Gemara gives a different answer. V'kulan she'asu mishalah mod ha'shachar kasher. But b'di'evet, if you did them earlier, okay, we know this, for example, this relates to tefillah. Okay, if you want to daven shacharit in the morning, you can daven from netz hachama. But if you have some meeting and you have to leave really early, or you're going on a flight or whatever it is, and you have to leave very early in the morning, you can do it as early as alav ha'shachar. Okay, which is 72 minutes before netz hachama, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, minalan. Okay, that's when the sun is about, right, starting to rise, as opposed to when it's fully risen. Minalam, where do we learn this from? That it has to be during the day. Da'amarkra, v'hayamim ha'elen nizkarim v'nasim. Bayom im balayla lo. We're going to prove now with all these things, that it's a mitzvah during the day. So the Megillah says, ha'yamim ha'elen, it means yamim and not leilo. Le'em atavit yuvta to Rabbi Shobin Levi, but maybe this stands as a contradiction to Rabbi Shobin Levi that we learned already. Da'amar Rabbi Shobin Levi, hayav adam lekrota to Megillah balayla ulushnota bayom. You have to read it at night and repeat it during the day. So what do they say? Ki katane adiyom. They're only talking about the day obligation. They're not relating to the night obligation. Also, there's a night obligation. But what we're talking about now is the obligation to read during the day. And there's two obligations for Megillah. One is during the day, one is at night. So the one that's during the day, okay, and that's why if you think about it, we talked about that according to some opinions, the day is the main reading, and that's why we repeat Shachianu, and this is a further proof, because it says, Hayamim ha'elen is kurim v'nasim, and it's really a chiyuv during the day, and the night one is an additional one. V'lo malin, why brit milah? Dechtivu bayom hashmini himo. Okay, we're going to prove by all these things it says bayom, and because it says bayom, that means it has to be during the day. V'lo tovlin v'lo mazim. Dechtiv v'hizah ha'tahor al ha'tameh bayom hashvi'i. Okay, you have to read the whole pasuk to understand this. Okay, I'll read you the pasuk if you don't have it in your Gemara's on the side. It's Bamidbar Yutet Yutet. Right, this is they sprinkle the mechatat, the water from the para, from the ashes of the para aduma, on the third day and on the seventh day. And at the end of that process, he goes to the mikvah. Okay, so what do you see? That just like whenever the hazayah is, that's when the tefillah is, and since the hazayah is during the day, because it says by yom hashvi'i, so also the tefillah is during the day. Pshita, this is obvious. Maishna shomer yom keneged yom mikol chayvei tefillot, right? It should be the same as all the chayvei tefillot. Itzrich, we need to teach this to you why. Salkadata chamina tehavi kiri'i arishona shel zav. Uri arishona shel zav, itkish lebal keri. Dechtiv, zot torat hazav asher tetze mimenu shech batzera. Ma bal keri tovel b'yom, hainami litbo b'yomei. So what might you have thought? You might have thought that it's like the first ri'iyah of a zav. What happens with a zav? A zav sees some discharge, okay? And we say, the pasuk says, Zot Torat HaZav, Asher Tetzei Mimenu Shech Batzera. Since it says, the zav and the, it talks about the zav and the Baal Keri in the same pasuk. So they make a hekesh to one. Just like the zav, just like the Baal Keri is tovel in the day, okay? Also, the zav is tovel in the day. V'habi yamama lo matze tavla. But the, you might have thought that the zav is like the zava is like the zav. Now the zav tovels on the day he sees. The zava though, what does she need to do? She has to wait a day. Dichtiv kol yemei zovachim ishkav nidata yihiela. Okay, now here you see, like Shira said, they're comparing it somewhat to the nida, but not in the same way. They're saying she has to be kimishkav nidata yihiela, meaning she can't tovel that day. Okay. So what do they say? Balelia, what might you have thought? If the Mishnah just said, the Chayavei Tfilot, you might have thought, the Zava, when would she be able to be Tovel? If it's like the Zav, right? The Zav, what happens? He sees and then he goes to the Mikvah. The Zava has to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Yafet. So she has to wait. Now, we assume that all tefillot tefillatam b'yom, but you might have thought she was different. Why? As soon as you're shomer miktzat hayom, you can already go to the mikveh. When does the miktzat hayom start? At night already. Once at night she doesn't see, you might have thought she could go to the mikveh. Okay, so balelia, in the Zav's case, the first opportunity he has to go to the mikveh is that same day, right? In other words, here you have, let's say, this check is the day they saw. So the Zav already goes to the mikveh that day. But the Shomeret Yom has to go the next day. So because she has to go the next day, you might have thought as soon as the next day starts and she doesn't see anything already, she can already tovel. So Balel Yemiya Le'avid Miktzat Shimur, she can do some Miktzat Shimur, but Titbo. Kamash Malan, Kevan Debai Svira, Svira B'Yamamehi. And here we learn that the Safrala Shivat Yamim is what the Pasuk says, right? The Zava Gedola has to count 7 days. But now they learn here, The chiddush in this Mishnah is she has to tovel bayom. Why does she have to tovel bayom? She can't tovel at night because she needs to have a counting. She still needs to count 1 day. She doesn't count 7 days in this case, but there is a counting for the Zavak Tana, or, right, the Shomer Yom Keneged Yom could also be 2 days. The Zavak Tana is either she sees 1 day, she could see 2 days, and then the third day would be her day of Shmirah. And she has to count those days. Okay, first of all, it's obvious why she has to count them, because they might turn into seven. If she sees the next day and she continues to see, it'll be seven. And then if you don't start counting, what will happen? You wouldn't have counted the first few days. Oh, no, except that's not true. Sorry, that's definitely not true, because she has to count. Yeah, no, it's she has to, no, sorry, that's not true. Because she has to count only the clean days, right? So she wouldn't have clean days if she continues to see. But anyway, they learn that there is an issue of Svirat 1 day. And because of that, she has to do it. The Svirah can only be during the day. They don't explain why that is. But they say the Svirah can only be during the day, and therefore her tefillah has to happen during the day, because you can't say Miktzat Hayom starts the night before, because it has to be once she counts. And only when she counts can she go to the mikvah. And that's why our Mishnah said that the Shomer Yom Keneged Yom does it during the day. Where do we learn that you can do it from Alot HaShachar? Amarava de Amarkra. Bayikra Elohim La'or Yom. Lemeir V'ba Kra'o Yom. As soon as it starts to get light, that's already considered day. But then they say, Elamayata, Valchoshav Karalaila, Limachshichuba Karalaila. You should assume that it's the same thing with it getting dark. Since the Pasuk also says, Valchoshav Karalaila, it sounds like, so as soon as it starts to get dark, you can already call it Laila. And we've already said, we know as a fact that until it's Seder Kochavim, it's not for sure night. It's a fake night, but it's definitely not for sure night. So you can't use that pasuk as a proof. It doesn't work. That right? That pasuk must mean that God declared the day is day and the night is night, right? That darkness is night and light is day, and that's all. It doesn't mean that as soon as it starts to get light, it's day. So we must find a different pasuk. Ela Amar Rabbi Zera Mehachan. This pasuk appears exactly in Brachot, in the beginning of Brachot. It's a pasuk that describes the workers when they were working in Ezra Nehemiah. I don't remember if it's from Ezra or Nehemiah. It's from Nehemiah. When they were working on building the chomot of the city of Yerushalayim, it says, "Va'anachnu osim b'melacha." There were some people who were working, building. "Bechatziam machzikim b'rimachim." Okay, some of them are standing on guard because remember, everyone was trying to stop them from building. When were they doing this? From what time to what time? Me'alot ha-shachar ad tzeder kochavim. Okay? In the sugya and bracha, they're trying to prove tzeder kochavim, that you have to say shema at night, only from tzeder kochavim. In our sugya, we're trying to prove the alot ha-shachar case. Ve'omer, and the pasuk continues, and what does it say? V'haya lanu ha-layla mishmar v'hayom milacha. So now they say, my ve'omer, why does it need both pasukim? This pasuk says they were doing work from when? From Alot HaShachar till Seder Kochavim. Okay, now we have two possible times where we could call it day, right? The other option is Zricha and Shkia, which is before, right? Zricha is earlier than Alot HaShachar, and Zricha is later than Alot HaShachar, and Shkia is earlier than Seder Kochavim. So the pasuk says they were working from the greater amount of time, from Alot HaShachar till Tzedek HaKavim. That pasuk by itself doesn't prove that this is day and this is night. Why not? It could be that these people were working extra hours. They were working overtime. They were working hours that were normally nighttime hours, right? In other words, from Alot HaShachar to Zricha is considered night, and from Shkia to Tzedek HaKavim is considered night, but these people worked extra because they were doing something very important. It was very necessary. But the pasuk then says, V'haya lanu halayla mishmar v'hayom melacha. We would do shmirot at night, and we do work during the day. So it's clear that when they worked, it was day. So therefore, what do we see? The day is from Alot HaShachar to Tzedek HaKavim. And that's how we learn both Kriyat Shema is only from Tzedek HaKavim, and that our mitzvot, we can do them. Anything that's day mitzvot, we can do as early as Alot HaShachar.
How did they learn it before?
How did they what?
How did they learn it before
Nechemiah? You're right, that's a question. Were they doing it before Nechemiah like this, right? Was there a system of halacha so detailed like this? Probably not. Or, again, you can, with oftentimes with this, the psukim are just supporting what they were already doing. In other words, the pasuk is just a support. It's not a, it's just showing us that people call day, right, it's defined day from then. Without the pasuk, you would know it also, just they were doing it, but the pasuk proves it. But I think it's clear that the halachic system, the way the Gemara understands it, was not existing way back when. Okay, so Tashma, therefore it says, Vayalanu halayla mishmar vayom alacha, and that proves that this is day. Kol hayom kasher l'kriyat ha-megillah. So the first Mishnah was talking about, okay, now here's this question they ask on the Mishnah, we're going to see, but the first Mishnah talked about things that their obligation is during the day, you can do them, you start from Zricha, but you can do it as early as Alot HaShachar. Now we're going to talk about until when can you do certain things, right? There's certain things that you can do the entire day, okay? Even though we all know that it's better to do mitzvot first thing in the morning, it's the reason Makdimin, but these are mitzvot that can be done the entire day. Again, there's a question as to why, you'll see the Megillah comes up here, just like in the previous Mishnah, but all these other things that seemingly could also be done all day, they're not mentioned in this Mishnah, right? Why this Mishnah chooses other things and that Mishnah chooses those things, it's a good question. Kol hayom kasher l'kriyat ha-megillah, u'l'kriyat ha-halel, okay, halel can be read all day, u'l'tkiyat shofar, u'l'netilat lulav, u'l'tfilat ha-musafin, u'l'musafin, here the Mefarshim raises an issue. It's not really true, because tfilat ha-musafin, you have to do shacharit before you do musaf. But b'di'evit, they say b'di'evit, if you did musaf before shacharit, you'd be yotzei, and therefore it means kol hayom kasher. Or you could say that's just a technicality. In other words, yes, you can really do musaf all day. There's just this technicality, which is shacharit has to come before, but it doesn't mean you can't do it first thing in the morning if you want it. Even though you can't, it's only for technical reasons because of shacharit first, but not because of anything inherent to musaf. Ula tefillah musafin, ula musafin. What's the difference? One is tefillah, one is the korbanot musafin. Ula vidui haparim. Okay, this is when you have the vidui, the par helim devar shel tzibur, and the par kohen gadol. When the kohen gadol makes a mistake, or when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake and teaches something wrong. Ula vidui maaser. Okay, this is on the fourth and the seventh year on Pesach. They would do this vidui, saying, "I swear that I've done all the mitzvot of trumot and maasrot that I was supposed to do." There's a text in the Torah that says this is what you're supposed to say when you do vidui maaser. Ulevidui Yom Kippurim, okay, when the Kohen does his vidui on the par. Lismicha, when you do smicha on the korbanot. Lishchita, to shech the korbanot. Lichnufa, okay, there were certain korbanot and menachot that you had to do tnufa. You lift it up and move it from side to side. Lahagasha, to bring the menachot to the mizbeach, which you would bring the mincha before you do the kmitza, you bring it toward the mizbeach. Ulekmitza, that's what we learned the other day, right? Where you dip your fingers in and then you have to use, right, your three middle fingers, and then you use your other two fingers to brush off the extra stuff. Lahaktara, okay, this is not the haktarat evarim uptarim, because that was like the leftovers of the korban, then that they dafka did at night, okay? But here we're talking about things that are during the day. Here we're talking about the haktarat haminachot, okay, that we just talked about. And the haktara, I think there's more haktarot involved here, I don't remember. Lemilika, okay, that's shechting the ofot. Okay, that's you squeeze their neck with your thumb, and that would be the killing of the tarnagolot. Ula kabbalah, this is accepting the dam, right? When you shecht it, you'd have to catch the dam. Ula hazayah, sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach, right? Depending on which korban, most of them were done in the mizbeach hachitzoni. There were a few that were done panimi, which included the par, the parim, the helim devar shel tzibur, and the kohen mashiach. We learned that when we learned yoma. But all the ones that were done inside, and obviously on Yom Kippurim it was done inside. Ula hashkayat sota, okay, drinking, having her drink the water. Ula arifata egla, right, when they shech the egla arufa, when there's a dead person and they don't know whose city, right, who killed the person, and they measure the closest city, and the rabbis do a whole ceremony there. Ula tarada mitzora, okay, the whole process, we learned also about this, about the bohen, you put the stuff on the bohen, yado ayimanit, and the bohen, the whole, there's a whole process to be mitzahar the mitzora with the birds, and etc. Kol halayla kasher. So that's all things during the day. Kol hayom kasher for all these things. You can do them all day long. Kol halayla kasher l'ktzirat ha'omer. Okay, the cutting of the omer. L'hekter chalavim be'evarim. This is what I was talking about. The extra parts left of the korban that didn't get burned all day, they would burn them overnight. Those are the things that are the olah, that have to be all burned to God. So whatever was still left had to be burned. Zeh haklal. Davar shemitzvato bayom, kasher kol hayom. Davar shemitzvato balayla, kasher kol halayla. The Gemara is going to ask, we're not going to finish it today on the next daf, but the Gemara is going to ask, why does it have to bring the klal? It already gave us all the examples, so the klal must be to include something else that you wouldn't have known. Okay. Minala. So now, how do we know that these things are kasher kol hayom? Tamar kra, vahayamim ha'elen nizkarim v'nasim. Okay, it's talking about yom, so again, it's a mitzvah of the day. L'kriyat ha'alel, how do we know? These are all also telling us why it's a mitzvah during the day. Dechtiv, here we're going to see the same proofs we saw before for halel. Mimizrach shemesh amiva'o. We use these psukim from halel to prove that they have to be read in order and not lemafreya, not out of order. So now they're using it to prove this shows it has to be during the day because it says mimizrach shemesh amiva'o. From the time the sun rises to the time the sun sets. That means daytime. This chet is Rav Yosef Omer. Okay, not Rabbi Yosef. Rav Yosef, meaning Rabbi Yosef is a Tana, Rav Yosef is an Emora. Zeh hayom asah Hashem, right? This day, meaning daytime, not nighttime. Ulinitilalu, right? There's only one time we say halal at night, or really two times now. There's Pesach, and there's Yom HaTzmaut, which we model after Pesach. Ulinitila, and that's for a separate reason. Ulinitilat lulav dechtiv, ulakatam lechem bayom harishon, okay, again, daytime. Ulitkiat shavar dechtiv, yom trua yelechem. Ulu musafin dechtiv davar yom biyomo. Okay, it's something they would do daily. Okay, daily. Ulu tefillah musafin. That's kim musafin, right? The tefillah is kineged the tefillah. Shavya Rabbanan. So once you made the tefillah musafin, you made it exactly the way the musafin were. Ulevidoy parim. How do we learn that? Deyalef kapara kapara mi yom kippurim. Okay, the vidoy parim we learn from yom kippurim. Detanya gabe yom kippurim v'chiper bado ba beito. So it says it's also for kapara, the par there. So we learn, just like right, but kapara dvarim b'katum b'derer must be talking about vidoy. And kapara, how do we know that? So we learn the vidoy of the par from the vidoy of yom kippurim. And how do we know the vidoy of yom kippurim is during the day? Dechtiv b'yom hazeh yichaper alechem. Okay, the kapara happens during the day. Ulibidoy ma'aser dechtiv ba'amarta lefnei Hashem lokecha bi'arti ha'kodesh min habayit. That's the text that you say bidoy ma'aser. B'samech lei hayom hazeh Hashem lokecha mitzavcha. On this day God commanded you. It doesn't really work exactly because it's not saying God commanded you to do it on this day, where the day relates to the mitzvah. The day really relates to when he was commanded, but they connect it. They say since day is mentioned, it must be day. L'smicha u'l'shchita dechtiv b'samach b'shachat uchtiva b'shchita b'yom zivchechem. Okay, so b'samach b'shachat meaning smicha is like shchita, and shchita it says b'yom zivchechem. Okay, u'l'tnufa dechtiv b'yom hanivchem et ha'omer, on the day that you're manif the omer. Ula hagasha deitkesh l'tnufa. Okay, hagasha comes next to the pasuk of in tnufa dechtiv. V'lakacha koem yad isha minchat haknot behinif vihikriv. Okay, so here you see it's connected. Also, they're introduced by this pasuk on the day God commanded them. Here they're making zeresh of the word Torah. Here you see Torah mentioned with Mishpat, and Torah mentioned with the Sota. So just like the Mishpat happens during the day, also the Sota happens during the day. Okay, we'll stop here. The Gemara basically just continues with proving all these things are during the day or at night, and then they'll get to what the extra thing of Zehachal comes to include. Okay, we will pick up in September.
Have a lovely month.
Enjoy the end of Megillah.
Have a big trip.